If you've got a copy of God's Word today, I'd love for you to go with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. We'll pick up in just a few moments in verse 26. Mark chapter 4. We'll pick up in just a moment in verse 26. And while you're finding your place, I told our prayer huddle this morning out in the lobby. Those are people who are usually here early, getting ready for services, getting ready to serve in different groups for the 9 a.m. service. We pray out in the lobby before people start coming on campus. And I told them that there was a phrase in Scripture that's really been on my heart. And it was Jesus, actually, in Luke chapter 22, who said this to Peter. He said to Peter, I have prayed for you. And particularly to Peter, he said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. I want you to know today that I am praying for you. We as a church are praying for you. In fact, if you're sitting in a seat, sorry for the online audience, but if you are sitting in a seat in this auditorium today, your seat has been prayed over and anointed as recent as yesterday. And so I just want you to know, I'm praying for you. I want to see God's work in your life. I want to see you experience the incredible things that God has in mind for you. And so with that in mind, we're starting what's really just a couple of weeks series here. I've simply called it Next Steps. And there are two questions that I really hope that before we're finished today, hopefully you can answer. The first one you may be able to already answer. The second one you may be able to answer by the time we're done. Where are you on your journey with Jesus? And what is your next step? Where are you at on your journey with Jesus? And what is your next step? How can you lean in to the more that God has for you? Which reminds me, there's been a theme in my heart, and it seems to be a theme in the church right now, in our church, and it seems to be a theme even among others that I've heard, honestly, by happenstance. I listen to a few favorite preachers and different things, but I'm usually really behind on podcasts. Anybody else have that problem? You're always a few episodes behind. I'm usually a few sermons behind, but I enjoy listening to some other preachers. And I can tell you that even recently, listening to them, even the messages from well back, it seems like God is communicating there's a more He wants to do. There's a deeper work that God wants to do in our hearts. If you know anything about agriculture and or farming, particularly if you're planting a tree, for example, that seed that is planted in the ground grows two different directions. We often think about what we can see. We think about the tree that grows up and how tall it is, how its branches look, maybe the fruit it produces. But the truth is, before a tree grows up, it grows down. There is a root system that is established. And ultimately, when the winds blow and the trees are subjected to the elements of nature, it is the root system and the depth of that tree that holds it in place in those times. And so I believe God is saying to us right now, He wants to do this deeper work. It is a deeper work in our hearts that is necessary for the fruit to come in our lives. It is a deeper work in our hearts that is necessary in order for us to be used of God in the way He desires. With that in mind, I want to call your attention to these questions. Where are you on the journey with Jesus? What is your next step? How do you lean into God and experience what He has for you? Let me set up Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29 for you. Jesus often told stories with a point. We call them parables. If you want to understand what a parable is a story with a point. Sometimes in the parables that Jesus would tell, He would talk about several different components of what He was sharing. But oftentimes, more than just every single little thing meaning something, Jesus was really trying to communicate an overarching theme. He was trying to communicate a really big idea or big principle to the people He was talking to. In fact, if you go and read the entirety of Mark chapter 4, you will find that each one of the parables He taught there, and we'll reference some of them, each one of those parables He taught there, they all had similar meaning. They all had similar thought, and it was about the growth that God wants to bring in each life. So pick up with me, if you will, in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. Jesus also said, because He'd already taught certain things, The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Now keep this as our backdrop for our conversation. If you were living in that day and time, and you did a scientific poll of sorts of the Roman world, and you asked the Roman world, do you know who Jesus is? And in 100 years from now, do you think anyone will know of him? A lot of the people in that day, even while Jesus was in ministry on earth, within the entirety of the Roman world would have thought very little of Jesus, thought very little of his followers. After all, his closest group wasn't made up of the best of society. His closest group of followers were fishermen and tax collectors, among others. But we know that that is a different story. Jesus knew that it was a different story. Jesus knew that nothing starts full grown. Nothing starts full grown. It is a process over time. He knew what he was about to accomplish on the cross and through his resurrection, and that afterwards his message by the power of the Holy Spirit would spread all throughout the entirety of the world and would have great effect, the power of the gospel, and the kingdom of God would grow. The kingdom of God, I think we can all agree, has grown from just a handful of a few disciples to now millions of Jesus followers. As much as this is true for the kingdom of God as a whole, we also take application to our individual lives from Mark chapter 4. In our personal lives, we know that biological growth takes time. For example, very practically, no one is born from a mother's womb full grown, right? The growth from newborn, when I was born, 7 pounds, 14 ounces, to 6'2", and I'm not going to tell you how many pounds now, is a process over time. Growth happens as a process over time. We go from newborn to toddler to adolescent to preteen to teenager to young adult to adult. There is a process, even in the natural sense, in the biological sense, of growth and development over time. The same is true that spiritual growth is a process, a development that takes place over time. By the grace of God, we become adopted as children of God, and we have all the rights and privileges of being children of God, and I'm thankful for that, and we're seated with Christ. Scripture says, having been moved from darkness to light, from death to life. But when we become Jesus followers, that's not the end of it. That's only the beginning. How many of you have been perfect since you've been saved? Good, I don't have to give an altar call for liars. We can save that time. Nobody has. But as we journey with God in true relationship, we become mature Jesus followers through a process of growth and development over time. We see this play out in the verses of Scripture in the very first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, as long as the earth is in existence as we know it, there will be seed time and harvest. That's probably the King Jimmy version, but seed time and harvest. We might say in the New Living Translation, planting season and harvest season. But I kind of like that word seed time. Even though in the original it's one word, I kind of like it because it explains what really happens. There's seed, and then there's time, and then there's harvest. Seed is planted, seed is watered, nourishment comes, and over time there's growth to the point of then leading to harvest. Seed time and harvest. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus told another parable before the one we just read that most of us would call the parable of the soils or the parable of the seed and the sower. Some translations might have a heading that says the parable of the farmer scattering seed. In this parable, Jesus taught that the farmer goes out and plants seed. And it's not done at this time in history with a machine. It's not accomplished even one by one in the specific places. A farmer would take out a bag and would pull it out with his hand, a handful of seed, and would scatter it. And Jesus taught that depending on the soil it was laying with, it would depend on what happens from that point. It either would be snatched or blown away, or if the soil was right, it would take a deep dive into the ground and begin the process of growth. Scripture says in Mark 4 that the seed there takes root, and when it takes root, it sprouts, it grows, and it produces a crop. Notice a growth and development process over time. Now, if we shared our stories today, every one of us who are Jesus followers in this room could attest to what we're talking about. We all know that we're in a different spot today than we were the day we got saved. We have more knowledge and understanding of God. We have more knowledge and understanding of His Word. We understand more about the work of the Holy Spirit. We understand more about spiritual disciplines. We've experienced more and more of the victory of God in our lives, that He has already won the war, but we're learning how to live that conquering life. We've grown in sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit. There is a growth and a development that takes place in our lives over time. Paul the Apostle said it this way in 1 Corinthians 13, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, talking about when we will be with Jesus, we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." What is he saying? I'm in a different spot than I used to be because I was a new believer in God. I was a child. We could even talk about the stages of spiritual maturity in the terms of childhood and adolescence and teenage years and adult years. You could actually flesh that out. But I was a child when I started this journey, but I've grown up. But yet, I still am limited now. I still haven't arrived. I still haven't attained it. He even said in another place, "I'm pressing on forward. I'm leaving what is behind. I'm going to keep looking forward because there will come a day when we will be with Jesus and be like him. But as long as we're on this earth, we're still living in the growth process. There's still a development happening in our lives." Scripture indicates that there is a process of continual formation. The language that is used in the New Testament is the language of being fully formed, or we're people who are being brought to completion. There is an ongoing growth and development process that will last until we are with Jesus. Step by step, over time, we grow up in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul talks about a seed that is planted. Then a seed is watered, and God makes it grow. Once again, that same concept from Genesis chapter 8, when there is seed, there is time, and there is nutrients needed, and there is harvest. Ephesians chapter 4, we've heard some of these verses many times, but maybe leave a little part of it off. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gives the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. But notice the next part. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature. Everybody say mature. Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We talk a lot about the giftings of Christ to the church in the form of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We talk about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And sometimes I think we shortchange that by only talking about teams that are serving in this facility or even what we do to serve into our community. But ultimately, the work that is happening as we're here, this training ground, is so that we'll grow up in Christ, so that we will mature in Jesus, so that we will learn more, not only for head knowledge, but for application to our hearts that then lives out through our hands and our feet to be the people that Jesus wants us to be. Let me just encourage you today, if you're here and you maybe feel less than mature in Christ today. You ever had any of those moments? I'm sure you guys are so Christ-like, you've never had any of these problems. But if you've ever had one of those moments where you're like, man, I shouldn't have done that, or this isn't how I should be, or man, why did I react this way, or so on and so forth and so forth. If you're feeling less than mature in Christ today, maybe less than fully formed, I want you to be encouraged today. God is still working in us all. We're still in the process of growth together. Don't let the enemy whisper that condemnation in your ears today and tell you how terrible your past was or how terrible you are now according to him. That's not the case. We're simply on the journey with Jesus and we're continuing to grow. God is still working in all of us. We're all on that journey together. We've established here that God wants to do a deeper work, and over time there is a growth and development that happens in our lives. The second thing I want to establish today before we get into the practical steps is I want to establish the reality that spiritual maturity is essential to our lives. It's important for us to mature in Christ. It's important that we go on to maturity in Jesus. Scripture says it a lot of different ways, but in one place it says, hey, let's not go over the elementary teachings of Christ again and again and again, but let us go build on those things and go on to maturity. Let us not be people who only feed on the milk, but who also eat the meat, who take the meat, who live out the maturity in Christ. Spiritual maturity is essential. It is vital. It has to happen in our lives. Why is spiritual maturity so important? If I may so humbly submit a few thoughts to you, spiritual maturity is important because if we are growing in spiritual maturity, we will not be easily swayed and persuaded by false teaching. You won't get caught up with every YouTube prophet out there. If we are going on to spiritual maturity in Christ, then we will live in the true love of Christ and have the true love of Christ for other people. I would suggest today, and I think there's scriptural evidence for this, that the true mark of spiritual maturity is not whether you speak in tongues or have a spiritual gift. The actual true mark of spiritual maturity is love. Love for those who love you, but also love for those who don't. Spiritual maturity is important because that helps us to grow to a place that we're not easily offended and set off by every little thing like our culture. Spiritual maturity is where we grow in the passion for the things of God and the passion for lost people to know God and the passion for other people to know this blessing of walking in relationship with God. That we begin also coming to a place of maturity that we're actually able to pour into others' lives as well. Spiritual maturity is essential for our lives. We must continue to grow up in Christ or we will not be the people we need to be. And we will not represent Christ the way we need to represent Christ. So what is our role in this process? This is what I want you to hear today. If we know that the growth and development in our lives takes place over time, and that the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in our lives, and God wants to continue to help us grow up, and it's important that we do, spiritual maturity is essential for our lives, then what is our role in the process of spiritual growth? If God wants to do this, and we need Him to do this, what do we do? How do we respond to that? What is our role in the process of spiritual growth? I'm going to submit to you four thoughts really quickly. Our role in the process of spiritual growth, number one, we practice humility. Humility is not that you think of yourself less valuable than you are. It's that you think of yourself less often. Humility is understanding that we are limited in ourselves, but God is unlimited and we need Him to be at work in our lives. James chapter 4, verse 6, if you want to read a hit you in the middle of the eyes kind of book, James is a great read. James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We want God to work in our lives, we come to Him in humility. We say, God, we need you to work in our lives. We realize we're not full grown yet. So we're inviting you to work in our lives. One writer said it this way, pride, if we live in pride instead of humility, pride causes God to turn from our prayers and to actually withhold His grace. To be exalted in our own minds or to pursue the honor and esteem from others in order to satisfy our pride is to cut ourselves off from God's help. But for those who will humbly submit to God and pursue a deeper relationship with Him, He gives generously of His grace, His mercy, and His help. The truth is, and this is true really in life in general, in any context, whether we're talking about relationship with God, whether we're talking about career path, whether we're talking about parenting or marriage or all these different things, this is true in general, but especially true in our walk with God. We stop growing the day we think we know it all. Even Paul, the apostle, who had of anybody every right to say, I actually follow God and I've done all of these things and I've lived through all of these things for the sake of following Jesus. Even he said, as I said earlier, I haven't arrived. I haven't attained it. I'm still chasing Jesus. I'm still following after Him. I'm still being formed by Him. The truth is, church, we need the help and work of God in our lives. I don't in any way, shape, form, or fashion pray that you would have to face hard things. In fact, as a pastor, my heart for you would be that you always face and deal with and experience good things. At the same time, I pray that we live in such a humble way in our lives that we would live enough of this life to realize that we do need God. That we never get to this place where we think we can handle it all on our own. I love my daughters, and I pick on them quite frequently from messages. And actually, it's usually not even in my manuscript. It just comes to me. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me something or what. But anyway, I love my girls, but I still need God's help parenting. My oldest one is a preteen. Dear Lord, I need your help parenting. Yes, Jesus. More than yesterday, I need you more than words can say. Please keep pouring your help into my life. Actually, she's a really good girl, but preteens can still have some mood swings. Can't we all? We come to God humbly. God, I don't have it all figured out. How dare I would ever try to make my own path in this life as if I know better than God? Are you kidding me? No, we come humbly before God and say, God, we don't have it all figured out. We need you. And when we come with that attitude, Scripture says that we can boldly approach the throne of God's grace and find help in our time of need. James would actually write, he won't rebuke us for asking for help, but instead will generously supply what we need. Why? Well, he knows we need the help. We come humbly and declare that before him. So we practice humility. Secondly, we yield. In this process of spiritual growth, we yield. Yielding is not always easy as it sounds. Yielding can mean when God says no to something. Yielding can mean when God takes something or tells you or challenges you to do something different in your life rather than what you've always done or what you really want to do. Yielding is when we are coming before God and we are saying, you are truly the Lord of our lives. We often quote James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and we talk about resisting the devil and he will flee from us. But do you know the first part of that verse says, submit yourselves to God. Yielded to him. Here's the truth. If he's really our Lord, then no is not an option. If he's really our Lord, no is not an option. We can't say no to the Lord and him still be the Lord of our lives. I want you to think about what I'm saying. It's yes, Lord, or he's not Lord. We surrender to him. That's every day, that's in our direction, that's in our lives, that's in everything. Psalm 139, search me, know me, point out anything that offends you, lead me on the path of everlasting life. We yield. We yield. Number three, we put ourselves in opportunities to grow. One of the most important things for us to do in our lives, if we truly want to experience this growth and development in over time, this process of growth that God has in mind, this deep work that He wants to do, one of the things that we must do is immerse ourselves in His truth and respond to His truth in obedience. We must put ourselves in opportunities to grow. I want you to think back for a moment. It's in Mark chapter 4, same chapter, and I referenced it earlier, the parable of the soils or the parable of the seed and the sower, the farmer scattering seed. Growth in that parable, the way Jesus taught, the growth that comes in that parable has to do with how receptive the soil is. If the soil is hard ground, that seed's going to be blown away or snatched away. If the soil is receptive, it will go into the ground and it will begin to grow that very root system and that plant or that tree that it's supposed to grow. So the two questions that come with putting in ourselves in opportunities to grow, number one is, what are we doing in our lives to immerse ourselves in the truth of God? What are we doing to immerse ourselves in the truth of God? And then the second question, which is really equally or maybe more important, is what do we do with that truth? Not only immersing ourselves in the truth, but then what do we do with that truth? How do we respond to the truth of God? Because that's where the growth is going to happen as we take the steps of faith and obedience and trust. That's how we're going to continue to grow in Him. In fact, in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said it this way, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given." Think about it. The more we keep our focus on the Lord, the more we want to hear what He's got to say, the more we live it out, the more He shows us, the more He reveals, the greater, deeper work that He does. I can't help but read this, though, and think about how important it is that we really pay close attention. Because the truth is, we can come in moments just like this, and we say, oh yeah, I'm immersed in the truth of God. But it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. We walk out of the room. We kind of go on with life. What are we really doing with that truth? I think about parenting again. And one of these days, I'm going to preach a series that deals with the things I've learned about God through the eyes of parenting. It's really incredible what God has shown me, and probably many of you, through parenting. It also makes me grateful that He hasn't just slapped me upside the head a few times. No, we haven't slapped our kids, so just relax. My wife's not in the room, is she? Don't tell her I said this. My kids are probably a lot more like me. She'll agree with me, I'm sure. I have said to you before, I've confessed before, that I'm basically undiagnosed ADHD. It's true. The problem with my brain is there are multiple thoughts going on at one time, every time, all the time. So for me, falling asleep at night is probably different from some of you. I will fall asleep by putting in a baseball game during baseball season in my ear. Or listening to, this is really going to flip you out, I've put a police scanner. I tell you, those folks in Cleveland, Ohio are crazy, by the way. I don't know what's going on there, but police be chasing people all the time, you know. So my brain's always going, well, I've noticed that at least one or two of my girls are probably a lot like me in that way. And so have you ever, and parents, regardless of whether your kid is technically ADHD or not, you've probably experienced this too, but have you ever talked to your kids and you really weren't sure they were actually listening? By the chuckles, I'm guessing you have, probably today. Yeah. We talk to our kids and we're like, did they really get what I was saying? I'm telling you, if I tell my child to turn them lights off one more time in my house, I mean, what does it take to get this happening? It costs money for those lights to just be on in the basement and nobody down there. So I got to the point, and I know this may not be necessary for every person in the world, but I've gotten to the point where I want to see your eyeballs. I want you to look at me while I'm talking to you. I don't know if it really works. It's kind of like turning the radio down to drive in a parking lot because somehow it helps us to see better. And the older we get, we think that really is the magic that works. But I at least feel like in that moment, at least I've got your attention. And so when we talk about immersing ourselves in the truth of God, we're not just talking about a casual glance as we run past to do other things. We're talking about fixing our eyes on Jesus and truly taking in and meditating and absorbing and then living by the truth of God. He doesn't just want us to casually hear what he has to say. He's calling us to pay close attention, because if we'll pay close attention to him and his word, his Holy Spirit will partner with the living word and our lives will be changed and we will grow up in Christ. That's what we need. So we immerse ourselves in the truth and then we respond to the truth. And lastly, number four, we continue in this process of spiritual growth until the end. Listen, there are some days I feel like I'm growing more than others. There are some days that spiritual disciplines of being engaged in the Word of God feel more exciting than others. I mean, we're in Leviticus right now in the yearly reading plan. I'm pretty sure I said this last year too, but how many long lobes of the liver are there? Because it just repeats it over and over and over. Now, the truth is, Leviticus is a really important book because there are a lot of foreshadowings to Christ himself. But the other truth is, it's not always easy to read it. We're honest about that. We can be honest about that. So there's some days that it feels a little more mundane. There's some days that, well, I read Scripture and I feel like I prayed, but I don't necessarily feel a lot happening. Right? It's kind of like if my little girls in an activity were to plant a flower or something like that for their mom, and they put that seed in the dirt, and we take that pot home so that the dirt can get spilled all over our house instead of somewhere else. By the way, if you want to know this, if you ever desire to get us a gift, here's that ADHD in play, by the way. If you ever want to get us a gift, don't get plants. Plants go to our house to die. I'm just telling you straight up, they go to our house to die. For Valentine's Day, you can judge me all you want. I don't usually buy a lot of flowers because my wife says in a few days they're dead. Now, I did buy a rose for each of my girls this year, but they'll die soon. I'm surprised they're still living now, truthfully. But we'll take that pot home. They've planted this seed in the dirt, right? And we take it home. And for my girls, it's like, what's happening? Can't see anything in that pot, right? There's nothing initially that says it's growing. So there's days that kind of feel like that in the spiritual journey. I don't know if anything miraculous really happened today, but I'm going to continue to be faithful in these moments, because as I'm faithful, the seed is being watered. As I'm faithful, I'm gaining the sunlight in my life. And over time, there is greater growth and development in our lives that is taking place than we even realize in the moment. So we keep going. We keep going. We will be faithful to seek God, faithful to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, faithful to pray, faithful to be obedient, faithful to fasting, faithful to solitude and silence to give God room to speak, faithful to be obedient to whatever He says. It may not feel the same every day, but God has promised to grow us. So I come back to the questions we started with. Where are you on the journey with Jesus? That's a question for you to answer. What is your next step? How do you keep growing with the Lord? And maybe you already realized something in your life. Maybe we've been talking about immersing ourselves in truth today, and you're already saying, you know what, I need to re-engage with Scripture. You know, a Bible reading plan sometimes can be about like gym memberships at the beginning of a new year. By February, what's today's date? February 16th. By February 16th, people quit. Bible reading can be the same way. Well, I've gotten so far behind. Today, you may be saying, hey, I need to re-engage the Bible. I don't need this to just be something I know about, but I want to know God more. Maybe it's prayer. Let's talk about spiritual disciplines for a moment. These are ways to engage that relationship with God. There's Bible engagement, there's prayer, there's, I said earlier, fasting, solitude, and especially obedience. And maybe you're feeling like today you're kind of in a spiritual dry place. You don't feel so spiritually vibrant at the moment. Sometimes just a small shift in some way as you're taking that step towards God can help you feel like you kind of come out of that dry place. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes it's healthy for me that instead of just praying, and I'm all for habits. I think we talk a lot about bad habits, but the truth is there are some good habits as well. But I and I'm all for habits, but sometimes it helps me that instead of sitting or kneeling in the same spot to pray or being inside the church building to pray, for me it might be I'm walking out on the parking lot. And I'm just engaging a new way of engaging prayer and talking to God. Sometimes just being out in creation can kind of open our eyes to the magnificence of God and how big and almighty He really is. With Bible reading, maybe you're struggling because you feel so far behind. Start again. It's okay. Start again. Re-engage some way. Maybe it's in fasting. Maybe you found out at the beginning of this year, you know what? I don't actually need as much social media and Netflix as I thought I did. I can be okay without it. Not to mention, in a lot of cases, you probably save some money too. Because those things, anybody else notice they keep going up? All these subscriptions keep going up. That's how they get you. They hook you in, and then they keep going up. Maybe you noticed, hey, you know what? I don't need to be spending as much time there. I need to spend more time with God. It's more important that I'm with Him. Those spiritual disciplines are a way to engage in relationship with God and help us to continue to grow because we're prioritizing, we're looking to God in an intentional way. You've heard Pastor Cole and Pastor Jessica today talk about Growth Track. And Growth Track is an opportunity that is for unpacking this even more. How do I follow Jesus? How do I take intentional direction in my life towards maturity? There's the first part of that class that they mentioned that is on March 2nd that is about exploring faith and exploring Christianity and Jesus and EPAG. And then there's that part two about belonging and how we do this together in community. And you may be new to EPAG, and so this is very appropriate to you because you heard them say, we want to help point you towards being an active part of God's preferred future for the church. But at the same time, you may have been a part of EPAG for a while, and you would be honest. You don't have to tell me this, but you would be honest today, and you would say, you know what? I don't feel like I'm where I need to be with Jesus, or I don't feel like I'm rooted and grounded and planted and established in Jesus maybe the way I need to be, or maybe I feel like I'm lacking in some things and I want to learn from somebody and grow from someone about what does this look like practically and what steps can I take to be closer to God. That's appropriate. Maybe you've been a part of EPAG for a long time and you're not in community. You don't have a lot of relationships. These are important opportunities for you to connect into community and know more people and actually grow together. We'll talk about it soon. How we don't do anything alone. We don't do a lot of the things that we need to do in life, a lot of the career paths in life, a lot of the directions in life. We do these things together in community. It's not alone. Jesus didn't design it that way. I want to challenge you today. I'll come back to these two questions one more time. Where are you on your journey with Jesus? And what is your next step towards the Lord? My prayer for you today is that you will see how important it is for us to continue to grow up in Christ and that you will welcome God's work in your life and you will take those intentional steps. Listen to me, spiritual growth will not just happen in the sense of you're not going to drift into spiritual maturity. Now, you know what? The opposite actually is true. You will drift into immorality, into the ways of culture. If you're not intentionally following Jesus, you will fade away from Him and get caught up in a bunch of other stuff. Things that are not the best for your life. So we do have to be intentional. It doesn't just happen, but it will happen if we follow Him. That's my prayer for you today. that you would truly say, God, I want to take whatever it is. Is it re-engaging the Bible? Is it, I want to spend time with you in prayer? Maybe it's obedience. Maybe your next step today is obedience. God's been telling you to do something and you've been struggling. Maybe today God's saying, I'm calling on you to do that. And you'll see a shift in your life as you are obedient to Him. Let's follow Jesus together. It's a fun journey. It's a fun journey. And He's still working in all of us.